Hey everyone, thank you for joining me on today's walk through the strange Paradiso. I have a couple of things that I would like to share, but first of all, you know, this Amityville thing is never going to go away. It's never going to be just laid to rest once and for all. It seems like there are always things popping up about it. I would tend to believe that pretty much everything that happened, as much as is able to come out, is all out by now, because the majority of the people involved are all passed on now. I know that the children who were the Lutz children are still alive, but why would anyone want to continuously bring this up unless, and I'm not saying this about the family members, but unless there was there's something financial to be gained, okay? But maybe this has been common knowledge and I just didn't know about it. Not that it makes a difference, okay? But it is said, now I just heard this recently, that the DeFeo family, and this is all speculation, this is all theory, because we will never know. But somehow, the dad, I guess Ron Sr., was somehow involved in the underworld, okay? I don't want to use the normal name that we have for this kind of activity, this group, but that's what is being said. And not only the dad, not only Ron Sr., but his wife as well. So what they're saying is that both of these people had dealings with the underworld, and maybe they weren't each dealing with the same group. Okay, let's just put it that way. Now, does that have anything to do with what ultimately happened in that house? Maybe. If, for example, the person accused of murdering the family, now, if he really wasn't the actual killer, what does that say, okay? I'm just sharing what I've heard recently, because I didn't know this. And I was even kind of like, no, just because you are of a certain culture doesn't mean that you are automatically associated or in these type of groups, okay? But this just seems to be one of the theories. So I remember that there was this TV show that was on so many years ago, maybe 10 years ago or so. And these people, it was like a psychic type of contest. And these different people would like compete to see who's really the best psychic, who has the best abilities and so on. And so there were a few people who were on this challenge, okay, this psychic challenge, who had actually done work with the police, with different investigations, murder investigations, kidnapping, missing, disappearances, and things like this. And one of the people who won this contest actually went to interview Ron DeFeo in prison. I think there was more than one interview. I think it was like a continuation of one or two shows that came out, you know, with this interview. Now, I don't recall if Ron said he was innocent or not. I do not recall. Maybe you can find this. Maybe you can see what I'm talking about. If you are not already familiar with it, okay? Because we know that there are some people who have actually been misled into believing that they did certain things. People who were altered, people who maybe are a little bit, I don't know the proper word to use, but who are, mentally irregular a little bit. Okay, maybe this could have been something that happened. I mean, I have heard of this. People say, no, well, I don't remember. I don't think I did it. And there are others who say, yes, you did. And it's probably because you were under this influence or that influence and blah, blah, blah. And then the individual starts believing that, oh man, maybe it's really true. Maybe I really did do this and I'm really sorry. And that's not the type of person I am and blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've seen this happen before. So I'm not saying that this happened, okay, or it went like this. I'm not even saying that there was ever really any activity with the parents and this certain group, okay? But it would maybe make a little bit of sense if certain things were going wrong. It wouldn't be the first time that maybe something like this happened. So also the fact that the gunshots didn't wake up any of the other family members to give them time maybe to jump out a window or run out of the house or do whatever would maybe suggest more than one person. I mean, I'm just kicking it around here. Because I never heard that before, okay? But now, let's move on a little bit. Then it goes on to say that the Lutz family, okay, that they were dabblers. That they were dabblers in the occult and so on. And so perhaps that's what opened up and led to all of these problems that they experienced while living in that house, which, okay, it is a possibility because no matter how those murders happened, they happened. So there's a lot, okay, of negative energy. There is, I mean, it's like an attraction for certain things already. Now, with them dabbling in doing certain things, and this isn't the first time I've heard about that, okay? But what I had heard is that it was the husband who had previously, like maybe when he was younger or something like that, had been dabbling in black magic, okay? Now, that's what I heard. I don't know if it's true, but I did hear it from more than one outlet. So if they were both at the time, pretty much, maybe right before they moved in, maybe a little bit during the time when they moved in, that would explain a lot more of why they experienced this stuff in that house, okay? Not to mention the furniture. They kept the furniture, but I had talked about that before. The beds, they kept the beds. Now, those are where the family was murdered. The children, the parents, they were all murdered in their beds. Now, why in the heck would you keep that? I mean, I know we talked about this before, but I just can't get over it. I mean, it's like, why? I don't care if I didn't have enough money to buy beds. I'd sleep on the floor. There is no way I would have kept anything in that house, but especially if someone would have said, okay, you have to keep some kind of furniture in this house to be able to get it at this low price. So what are you going to keep? I would have kept maybe the dining room table, okay, but the beds, no. There is no way. I'd sleep on the floor. I don't care if the floor was wood. I'd make some cushion and I'd sleep on the floor. There's no way I would have kept those beds, even in the house, even if I didn't sleep on them. okay, they got new mattresses. Okay, all fine and dandy. But no, that furniture still holds all of that energy. No. So it go, I mean, also think about it, because people who moved there afterwards, people who bought that house afterwards and even to the present day say that there's nothing going on in there, that everything's fine. There's no activity whatsoever. Well, maybe one of the reasons is because they probably, more than likely, got rid of the beds and the rest of the furniture that the family owned. Okay? It stands to reason that there were many things, just from what I have read about, just from like what everyone already seems to know, there are just so many things that were already kind of like stacked against the new owners. Keeping the furniture, keeping the beds, dabbling. Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. Now, I don't know how easy it is to find out the information that I spoke about first. I don't know. Once again, I am not pointing my finger or accusing anyone of anything. I'm not here to talk bad or say anything negative about people who have passed on. So this, once again, is theory. And it will remain theory because there's no way we'd be able to prove it. Even if we read about it, there's no way that we could prove it. I mean, we could read about the gingerbread boy, but we can't prove that he ever existed. So it's a fairy tale. It's a theory, just like this. It will always be a theory. Unless someone somewhere came out with complete evidence. But this is never going to just rest. So I just wanted to share that with you briefly. See what you think about it. I just, for some reason, it holds a bit of an attraction. I'll admit that. When you see that, when you see Amityville, it still has an attraction to it. Probably because of just so much. It's like over the top what happened there and what continued to happen. Also, we talk about these things never really going away. These things really never leaving. Now, we're in 2024. I don't know how long the owners, the present owners, have lived there, but at some point, I would really, really be shocked if nothing ever happened again. I mean, nothing. I really would. Now, once again, I don't know what has been done. I don't know if that place was cleared. I don't know if it was exercised, if anything like that took place. Because if not, it's my own belief that somewhere, something is hibernating. Now, it could be there for, I don't know, decades, centuries, before maybe things start happening. Maybe it would take someone to innocently do something without realizing it, to activate these things once again. Because they don't give up their space, okay? It takes a major extraction for these things to give up their space. They are fully embedded in certain areas, and they have been given some way, somehow, either just somebody accidentally doing something, someone intentionally doing something, but they are legally there. These things, it sounds funny to say they have a legal right, but these things do deal in legalities, okay? And that's how they are so just. That is their place. So it really takes something to clear them out. And I don't know if they go somewhere far away. I don't know if they remain on the property. But I would not go in there. I would not go in that house. I would not go. I don't think I'd even step in the front yard. Because I just don't feel that whatever was there is 100% gone. I just don't feel. It doesn't mean that I'm correct. That's just my own personal feeling. So I wouldn't even want to deal with it. Like some people would go in there and maybe just see if it's clear, just go in there and check it out. And like the Warrens used to do, they would go in and check it out. No, I would not do that. No way, not going in there. There's not enough money, not enough gold, not enough jewels to get me to go in there and do that. Okay. So in that same line now, we're looking and discussing things and maybe how certain things entered in to houses, to certain plots of land and other places like that. Well, there is a story about somebody who, okay, they lived in this house. I guess they had lived in there for a few years, and one of the children, once this girl got to be a little bit older, you know, she wasn't a toddler anymore, they would hear her sometimes at night talking to someone. And the dad walked by the bedroom door one day of his daughter, and she was like sitting on the floor, kind of like talking to, it looked like if somebody was under her bed, like she's talking to someone who was under her bed. That's what it looked like to him. So he didn't think anything of it. And then his wife said, well, I hear voices. And he said, yeah, that's Katie. She's talking to someone. And the mom's like, well, she's supposed to be in bed. And he said, well, I'll just give her a little bit. Maybe she's putting her teddy bears, whatever, you know, her dolls to sleep under the bed. And she was like, what do you mean under the bed? And he's like, yeah, she's talking, but it looks like she's talking to somebody who's under the bed. So later, okay, it's they just let her finish and she went to bed and that was that. But she continued to talk to someone that they couldn't see. And then one day, I guess she was upset. And then the mom said, well, what's wrong, Katie? And she said, that person who lives under my bed messed up my room and destroyed my crayons or something. And then the mom said, there's a person who lives under your bed. And then she said, yes. Okay, so now the mom recalls what had happened like the previous year, because some time had passed, okay? Now Katie's a little bit older, and she's saying there's somebody who lives under her bed. So after, when Katie's in school, the mom goes, cleans in the rooms and stuff, and she looks under the bed. Well, there's nothing under there. But there's a bunch of broken crayons under the bed. She figures Katie just did this. Maybe she broke them accidentally when she was coloring or whatever, and she just blamed it on somebody else. so that she doesn't have to take responsibility. So she was going to talk to her about it, about lying, telling falsehoods and taking responsibility and things like this. And then certain things started to develop, okay? So there were certain other things that started to happen, and like activity. And Katie said, "It's that guy who lives under my bed." And then apparently this guy had a name. It's a different kind of name. I don't recall, but it was a name like I've never heard before. It wasn't anything like John or David or anything. It was a completely different type of name, like some kind of foreign name or something like that. So because of what was happening, because there were certain things that they could not blame on their daughter, they started to get worried, like there's really something going on in here. And now lights are turning on by themselves. Certain things are being left open, certain things being taken out of cabinets and so on, people losing their stuff, stuff being misplaced and so on, okay? And there's only the three of them in the house. There were no other siblings. So the parents, the mom, calls in someone to come and investigate and take a look and see what could be happening there. So someone comes in. I think it was a woman, and she came in and she said, "Yes, you have a couple, you have more than one in here, and they're in different areas of the house, so I'm going to clear your house and this and that so that they'll go away, they'll move on." Okay, fine. So the woman comes back, she clears the house, she tells them she wants them to be in the house and kind of like walk with her and join her as she does it so that they can also be cleared themselves, okay? So this takes place, everything's fine for a couple of days, and then the stuff starts up again, and now it's really, really worse. They hear poundings on the walls. Lights go off and on day and night. They come home from work or from going places. And if it's nighttime and the night lights won't be on, if it's daytime, every light in the house will be on. Everything is like opposite, okay? So then they start smelling like really funky smells in the house, and they hear voices at night, and it sounds like laughter. It's coming from in their house. They didn't know what to do. They're like, okay, we had this house cleared. How can this be happening? So they get another person to come in, but no one seems to be able to do anything. Every time somebody comes and clears a house, it doesn't last, okay? So the dad works with this guy who's Native American. And he's telling him all about their house and what's happening. He's like, "We may have to sell our house, and I don't know what we're going to do." And so his coworker, who's Native, says something about his grandfather and that his grandfather might be able to help them if they would be willing, and he could take his grandfather there and check it out. So the dad is like, "Yes, yes, thank you, yes. Whenever he can come out, whenever he's available, we'll be there, we'll make time, whatever." So the grandfather goes into the house along with a coworker, okay? So they're in there. And he goes directly to the bedroom. He doesn't go look under the bed, though. He goes into the closet and he opens that closet door. And he starts speaking in his language. And then he tells the homeowners, he says, "These things are coming in and out of a portal that is in this closet. And that's why clearings aren't getting rid of it. It's right here. I got goosebumps right now, guys. So anyways, he does something. He goes and he gets whatever. I'm not sure what it is. He does something and smokes the house, okay? He smokes that house. And finally, nothing ever happened again. He closed the portal. And that took care of it. I personally don't know what it is about Native Americans and their understanding of the earth, of the spirit realm, and just so many other things. I am amazed by them. And I'm not saying every single one, but a lot of them, okay? When I lived in Oklahoma, I mean, just amazing. The culture is just amazing. And the coworker of the dad, okay, was explaining to them that they have to, like, work at keeping their culture, at keeping their native language. And that goes for all the different tribes, because as the elders get older and then they pass away, a lot of things are at risk of being lost. And it's one of these things, guys. If that were to happen, if all of that was lost, we would be at a great disadvantage, not just the Native Americans, but us also. So, I mean, how was it that these others weren't able to know this and to see this? And they said no one else just went right into that room. Now, I was getting ready for him to say he looked under the bed, he laid on the floor, looked under the bed, or he moved the bed and there was something under the bed. No, he went into the closet. So, just amazing. I mean, I love that culture. I am not Native American, but I got to know and be acquainted with many of them when I lived in Oklahoma. And even then, I was just so interested in that culture. I grasped onto it, and I learned as much as I could. I mean, it's been a long time now, but it's just wonderful. We used to go to powwow and stuff like that. It was great. Anyways, that's all that I've got for today. I'm going to actually try to be back tomorrow with some more stuff. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. Tomorrow is my grueling work day. So I'm going to try to be back because I've got a lot of stuff to share, okay? And I know that we're getting closer and closer to some events here, okay? One of them is Easter, or some people call it Resurrection Sunday. We've got the eclipse, and we've got a lot coming up. So I want to talk about these as well as other things, you know, that are happening. And it's almost like I feel that we're kind of like in a spiral, like in a mixer that's going like in a tornado type of deal, because there's just so many things happening all at once. And there are people who have contacted me and said, I'm trying to be calm. I'm trying not to think about it, but I can't help feeling kind of anxious and kind of nervous and this and that. See, I know what they're saying as far as how they feel, but what I can't understand is why they're feeling that way about the eclipse. Okay, that's because it's emotion, and many people are getting caught up at that emotion. So somehow, when you feel like that, we have to detach ourselves from that emotional current. We have to calm ourselves. And many people have different ways of doing that. Maybe we need to go outside and walk barefoot in the soil. Maybe go to the beach, you know, and get some of the sea air. There are many different ways of calming ourselves. Get away from the Wi-Fi for maybe a couple of hours a day. Get away from the devices, from electronics. Just hang out in nature, even an hour a day. If the sun is out, go and stand on the ground barefooted in the sun for just even 15 minutes, okay? You can stand in the shade on a sunny day in your bare feet, okay, with your feet on the ground for grounding. There are many things we can do, even listening to music. So we all have our ways. And you know, one of mine is going shopping. I'm telling you guys, I could just go to the mall and I'll calm down. But anyways, I'm not feeling agitated or anything like that. So I'm going to try to be back tomorrow, okay? And I don't know what's getting ready to happen with this app, with this Spotify thing. So if I disappear one day and you can't find me and you want to continue with me on these walks, on these journeys, that's a never ending, you can contact me, maybe_Maria@outlook.com. All right, we can keep our little group together and move forward. So we'll be walking and talking again soon as possible. Everybody have a great rest of your day wherever you are. Ciao.